Welcome to our service for the 8th Sunday after Trinity. Our speaker today was to have been Fran, but she's come down with a nasty case of bronchitis. So you're stuck with me. Oh well. The focus of our service is the unifying power of the cross of Christ. So we begin with Isaac Watts' unforgettable hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." So, to our time of penitence, let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 8th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty Lord and everlasting God, we beseech you to direct, sanctify and govern both our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your most mighty protection, both here and ever, we may be preserved in body and soul, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
Daw'r darlleniad cyntaf o lyfr Jeremiah. Gobaith i'r dyfodol. Gwae chi fugeiliaid sydd yn gwasgaru defaid fy mhorfa, ac yn ei harwen ar grwydir, medd yr arglwydd. Am hynny, fel hyn y dywed yr arglwydd, Dyw Israel, am y bugeiliaid sy'n bugeilio fy mhobl. Gwasgar aswch fy mhraidd a'i hymlid ymaith, heb wylio drostynt. Yn yr oi fi am ymweld â chi am eich gwaith drygionis, medd yr arglwydd. Yr oi fi am gasglu ynghyd weddill fy mhraidd o'r holl wledydd lle y gyrraes hwy, a'i dwy'n drachefn i'w corlan, ac fe amlhant yn ffrwythlon. Gosod o farnint fugeiliaid a'i bugeilia, ac nid ofnant mwyach, na chael braw, ac ni chosbi'r hwy, medd yr arglwydd. Wele'r dyddiau yn dod, medd yr arglwydd, y cyfoda fydd a fydd flagurin cyfiawn, brenin a fydd yn llywodraethu'n ddoeth, yn gwneud barn a chyfiawnder yn y tir. Yn ei ddyddiau ef, fe achubi'r Juda ac fe drig Israel mewn diogelwch. Dyma'r enw a roddi'r iddo, yr arglwydd ein cyfiawnder. Dyma air yr arglwydd. The second reading is from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And this is the word of the Lord.
And trust in you.
And I will trust.
I will trust. I will trust in you.
For your
endless mercy follows me. Your goodness can lead me home.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. I've just started reading David Mitchell's book Unruly, a comic survey of the kings and queens of Britain throughout history. He suggests the first thing approaching real historical writing in Britain is the Venerable Bede's Ecclesiastical History of the English People. Mitchell first read Bede as an agnostic teenager, and he found Bede's obsession with the theme of religion boring and disproportionate. Even as a young man, Mitchell had been educated in modern ways of reading history, in which religion was a kind of side issue, sometimes called into play to justify what powerful people might want to do, but not of any importance in itself. Only in later life, he writes, did Mitchell come to realise that for Bede and his contemporaries, religion was not, as it tends to be for us, a personal choice made by individuals about how much of their spare time they might devote to the worship of a god they just about believe in. In Bede's time, religion was everything. It was the context for how you understood the events of history and everything else, a role not unlike that which science plays in modern culture today. I thought about Mitchell's understanding of this when I came to consider again our epistle reading for today from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're very familiar from the Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles with the historical process by which the Christian church developed from a relatively small fringe group within Judaism into a wider organisation of which, over time, non-Jewish people or Gentiles would form much the greatest part. We can read with interest of the early days and how they had to adapt to and accommodate each other's ways of life and worship, sometimes painfully with great difficulty, in order to become, as the New Testament puts it, one body of people who fully accepted each other as brothers and sisters. It's an interesting human story and, properly speaking, an historical one. But rather like David Mitchell, I was struck, reading Ephesians 1 once again, that for Paul, this reconciliation between Jews and Gentiles was everything. The Jewish people of Palestine and the pagan polytheists of the Greco-Roman world were not two groups of people happening to live around a Mediterranean who, for reasons of historical accident, happened to have chosen different faiths to follow. They were the whole of humanity. There were Jews and there were Gentiles, and there was no one else. And in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul believed, God was doing nothing less than making one new humanity out of the two that had existed, in mutual suspicion in good times and open hostility in bad times, before. Paul writes, Christ has abolished the law in order that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two. In general, if I were to ask you to describe the enmity which Christ has ended once for all on the cross, you would, I think, say that he has put to death the enmity between God and man which was caused by human sin. And you wouldn't be wrong. Paul writes, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Here in Ephesians, though, we see that that only tells part of the story, or perhaps we might say more accurately, it omits one fundamental aspect of the story. The cross not only reconciled those who believe in Jesus to God, it created for all time the possibility of one whole new humanity, where there had been two old ones before. To look at the cross in this way is perhaps to gain a fresh understanding of how and why the Christian message spread so rapidly across the Gentile world. It was driven not only by the belief that there was forgiveness and new life from God for every human person in Christ, but also by the belief that for the first time ever, every human being, whatever their race, their previous way of life, or their previous religion, every human being without exception could now be my brother or my sister. That was what had been achieved by God in the person and work of Christ at Calvary. It explains again, too, why the theology of the unity of the body of Christ was so absolutely fundamental to Paul's understanding of the church. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, he writes to the Corinthians, that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Some have informed me that one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? That last simple, thunderous question is for Paul unanswerable. Is Christ divided? The very idea is unthinkable. The church, any church, is in itself representative of the one new, indivisible humanity. In the modern West, we live in difficult times for the church. David Mitchell is quite unusual in attaching any importance to the Christian faith or the Christian church at all, and there are still some historians and other scholars who simply do not understand its importance in our history and culture. We ourselves, who live the life of the Christian church, often feel quite properly that we are swimming against the tide of the times. It can be difficult to hold on to the sense of the privilege that belongs to us. But we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God, living in a light which the darkness never has and never can extinguish, because we are representative of the one new humanity which the Lord Jesus gave his life to inaugurate and to create. Amen.
Good, that we might go at last.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Christy. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. En ta dyr hynnwyd yn y nefoedd sancteddia dy enw, dyle dy dernas gwnela dy wyllus, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyr o'n i heddiw ein barab einyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac ar rhan ni brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eitha ti o'r dernas, a'r gathlu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
God of peace, whose Son Jesus Christ returned from the dead to become the great shepherd of your sheep, guide us unto the ways of peace and mercy. Equip us to do everything that is good and build us up to be a holy dwelling place for you, our God. Through the same Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God, now and for ever. Amen. Holy Father, empower all whom you have called to be bishops, pastors, and teachers, to be good shepherds of your flock. Give them wisdom and vision in the leading of your people. We pray for any who are seeking out the straying and the lost, those who are offering new hope and courage to the despairing. We pray especially for those in our own diocese and local ministry area. Bishop Dorian, our Archdeacon, Rural Dean John, for Matthew, Fran, Father Dylan, Judith, and the lay people in our churches. Walk alongside them and guide them, Lord, as they lead others in the flock. Faithful Shepherd, hear us and guide us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give guidance to all who seek to guide or reconcile others. Protect all who are working with divided peoples, all peacekeeping forces, and those who seek to maintain order. We think especially of those working to find a just and lasting peace in war-torn countries, Ukraine, Gaza, Israel, and so many other places in our world. Direct all who work as Samaritans or in marriage guidance, those who work on the streets in towns. Faithful Shepherd, hear and guide us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Surround with love all who are having difficulty in their relationships. We pray for all who are feeling betrayed or neglected, for all who are suffering from marriage breakdown, for children of broken homes or homes of hatred and violence. Loving Shepherd, hold them in your tender arms. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good Shepherd, be with all who are harassed and helpless, all who feel alienated or hostile, those like sheep without a shepherd. We remember all who have lost their way, all fallen into vice and wickedness, that all may know the love and care of the Good Shepherd. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Christ the Good Shepherd, who comes with peace to those who are near and far off, we pray for all who are sick or ailing, and those who care for them, for our families, friends and loved ones, for those recently bereaved. Give comfort and strength, knowing that you love each one. Faithful Shepherd, hear and guide us. We rejoice with all who are in the safety of your keeping, in your kingdom, for all the saints in glory. We pray for our loved ones departed, and that we may come to share with them in eternal life. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now may the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.